Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, Director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Thank you guys for joining us. I am truthfully glad you're with us today. I got a couple of folks sitting here. One of them, Jeff, and went all the way through our recovery program and graduated, and he's been out there back in the world, clean, sober, and happy. And I got his lovely wife, Julie, is here, and we're going to talk to both of them. I said, I guess the other thing I would call them is friends, because they are friends, and I care about both of them and their family. And so I'm more than thrilled to have them here today. And I think that if you're out there, like we talk about every week, you may be suffering discouragement, you may be feeling alone by yourself, and it just feels hopeless to you. Well, you know what? Somewhere in the area near you is a healthy, Bible-believing, well-balanced church, and that's where you need to start. And if you are a believer and you're in those doldrums, you're in that place where everything seems hopeless, remember that you are now in Christ Jesus. And what's it say in Romans 8? It says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, which means that if you're feeling that way, it's not out of condemnation. It's because you're either not praying, you're not in your word, you're not fellowshipping with other believers, and that's easily rectified. There are churches all over the greater Sacramento area that would love to have people come and join them. You just need to make sure that they are, one, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they are believing that the Bible is the inerrant word of God, and that he can still change hearts. You are saved by grace through faith, and this not of yourself, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. If your church or the church you go to doesn't hold to those, then you need to find another church. We talked many times about the four solas. You are saved by grace, through grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And sola scriptura, the Bible is the arbiter of what we believe. If somebody comes to you and they have a brand new idea about what the Bible says, it's simple. They're wrong. And you need to find a church that believes in the Word of God. So, at any rate, I am glad you're here. And I want you to be happy. But I only want you to be happy if you're serving Christ, you're in Christ Jesus. If you're an unsaved individual, I want you to be as miserable as possible so that you realize that you're lacking something. If you're going to refuse to have Christ in your life and you have no desire at all to serve God, then I've told the men at the mission many times, then go out and have as good a time as you can, because this is the only heaven you're ever going to know. And then after that is an eternity of Christless darkness. On the other hand, if you're out there and you're hurting, you've lost somebody, you've lost a job, a spouse, whatever the case may be, understand, believer, this is the only hell you're ever going to know. And then after this, it says that God himself will wipe away every tear, and there'll be no more sorrow. And so take solace in it, or take a warning in it, however you view it. But understand this, as long as there's life, there's hope. But once you have gone from this plane, your time to make a decision for or against Christ is gone. And eternity is made up. So we need to think about it. So I would like to introduce my good friend Jeff Miles. Say hello, Jeff.
Hello.
And his beautiful wife, Julie. Julie, please say hello.
Hello.
All right. So, Jeff, you don't look like a guy that was out on the street.
That's right. I wasn't out on the street, but God had a plan.
God always has a plan. So tell me, how did you even come to know about the Union Gospel Mission?
Well, I was at a men's retreat with some family members. That was last March. And these brothers had called me out thinking I had a drug addiction. They couldn't prove it, but they knew. And my wife knew something was off in me, and she was waiting and asking for me just to reveal what secret I was hiding behind. So I went to that mission. I went to the men's retreat. Let's see, how'd that go? I let my wife know that I had relapsed back into crystal meth. And I then let her brother know, my brother-in-law, and the other men who were counseling me. I filled them in that I had relapsed back to crystal meth. I still went on this men's retreat. And fortunately, one of the brothers up there watched as I was coming down off of crystal meth over that weekend. And the Holy Spirit moved in his heart. And he had made up his mind that he was going to talk to my wife, Julie, and say, we can't let Jeff go home. So God, who had the plan all along, made our bus break down. And the people who were there at the reception from the men's encounter, my wife, my aunt, my father, and my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and a bunch of other brothers, they were there and they were starting to talk about my case with, hey, we can't let Jeff go home. Jeff needs help. And my one brother, Mark, was so adamant about it and felt so moved by the Holy Spirit that he was willing to fly me back to Arkansas for a rehab, and he was going to sit in a rehab with me for about 30 days to see if I can overcome this addiction. But God had another brother that he used whose wife's car broke down on the way home to pick him up, and he was there. He overheard the conversation, and he said, I got a spot for Jeff. Let me make a phone call. So he proceeded to call Pastor Mooney from the Union Gospel Mission. He was able to reach Pastor Mooney, and he said to them, I got a bed for Jeff. He has to be there tomorrow morning at 8:00. Well, with all that prayer, there was a lot of rejoicing from that prayer, and everybody knew that the Holy Spirit was at work and that God was at work here as well. Now it was up to me. I had no idea that any of this had already been orchestrated. So I came off the bus. We had the little celebration. Then my Uncle Al, the man that I met when I knocked on the door of Julie's house, the very first time I met Julie, he opened the door, stuck his hand out, and said, you must be Jeff. You're the man I've been praying for my niece. And I said, okay, yes, sir, that's me. Well, the same Uncle Al was there at the reception because his son had gone to the encounter. And Uncle Al took me outside, and he sat me down, and he said to me, he looked me in my eyes, and he grabbed my hand. He said, Jeff, do you remember the very first time I met you? What I said to you? I said, yeah, you said that you were the man that was praying for me to meet your daughter 14 niece. Years ago. I mean, your niece. And I said, yeah, that's right. And I didn't notice everybody surrounded me from behind, and he looked me in my eye, and he started to have tears come down, and he said, Jeff, I'm still that man, and I'm still praying for you.
Amen.
And then that started an intervention where Julie, my daughter Lily, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, my brother-in-law, many, many family members all encompassed me and poured out their love to encourage me to take this opportunity to get help at the Union Gospel Mission. And nobody knew what kind of a program or what this program was even about. They just knew that it was a call from God that had opened the door for me to get there.
Yeah, I hear that it's run by a real tyrant. Oh, wait a minute. That's me. Julie, I wanted to ask you, you guys have been married for how long?
13 years.
13 years, and Lily is a beautiful young lady, and that's their daughter. Let me ask you something. At the same time that he is hearing about the Union Gospel Mission, and you found out it's a 10-month program, right? 9 at the time, right?
Didn't even know.
Pardon me?
We didn't even know how long it was.
I was told he'd be gone for at least 30 days, maybe 3 months at the max.
You know what? I think that's a bait and switch. I'm sorry about that. But it's a 10-month program, and I think it was 9 at the time that Jeff came along. So you heard that he was going to be coming to this place in Sacramento where it's surrounded by homeless people and all that kind of stuff. What was your impression?
Of the mission?
Well, of what the need was at the time.
I didn't know until the day we did the intervention that he needed an intervention. The brother he's talking about is in recovery, and he knew what Jeff was dealing with, and he told me it's going to be more than 30 days. He can't go home with you. He's not going to get well if he goes home. So I was willing to give him up for 30 days. It wasn't until he got in the mission and he called me and said, this is going to be 10 months, that I realized he'd be gone for almost a year.
Pretty difficult to have those words echoing through your ears, I'll bet.
Yes, I wanted to be selfish and, you know, just have him with us. He's our provider, so his income we are counting on. And he does a lot around our home, and I didn't know if I would be capable of doing it all without him.
Well, you might not be capable of doing it without him, but you are capable to do it with God's intervening hand. So, Jeff, how long did you struggle with your addiction?
Well, it had been off and on. I relapsed. Well, basically, my wife, God touched my wife's heart when she was really ill about 5 or 6 years ago, and my wife surrendered her life to Jesus, and at that time, I surrendered my life to crystal meth. And so at this point, I had been using crystal meth probably for 4 years. And I wasn't looking to get sober. I wasn't trying to find God.
Right.
But I wanted to stay out of the way of what was going on in Julie. But when all of these people surrounded me, and they said, Jeff, what do you say? And I had to reflect for a minute, and I said, wow, with this much love around me, how can I say no? And that started the process that got me through the doors of Union Gospel Mission.
Julie, in those 4 years, primarily the 4 years that he was in this full-blown addiction, how hard was that on you?
Extremely hard, but when Jeff and I met like 14 years ago, I was popping pills for my doctor and I drank a lot of alcohol. We were party buddies.
Sure.
We even smoked pot together. And then when the Lord got a hold of my life, I quit doing all those things and he just went deeper into those things. Mm-hmm. And it was okay. When he was drinking alcohol and when he was doing marijuana, he wasn't a different person. He was just kind of not present with us.
Oh yeah.
But crystal meth changes your personality. It turns you into someone you're not. And you're
sometimes
capable
dangerous
of saying
and
doing things you would never do.
Yes.
And he was starting to, you know, in the beginning I didn't notice. But those last 3 years were living hell and it just got worse every day.
How did this affect Lily?
Well, she saw a lot of things she shouldn't see. Her parents arguing, and the main reason he couldn't come home with us after that encounter was because we had gotten in the biggest fight we've ever been in, and he threw something in the car, and it missed Lily's head by just inches. And I didn't really even want to pick him up and bring him home with us. And that's not Jeff. He's just a loving, kind person most of the time. But that drug changes you.
It does change you. I've always related it to when I was a kid, I would watch those monster pictures, and one of them was a werewolf movie.
Yeah.
And the man is soft-spoken, gentle, kind. He's all those type of things until the moon comes out. And then he turns into this monster, right? Well, drugs have that same effect.
Yes.
That person can be kind and warm, loving, faithful, and under the influence of certain drugs, they become a monster. And they will do things that afterwards they have a very difficult time living with. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that listening to Julie tell you about, you know, you threw this thing, you almost hit Lily. I'm sure that you reflect on that many times, and it's hurtful to your soul.
Yes.
But fortunately, I think, not Julie, but to Lily. Now, Lily, how is she feeling these days about having Dad recovered?
She's so happy to have him back.
Amen.
He was like her best buddy, and they spent a lot of time together, quality time.
And how about you? Because you know what? I can tell you from personal experience of many years that it's extremely important that a man and wife are really one, and that she is your best friend and he is your best friend.
Yes, yes.
And so sometimes when that marital bond is being broken, it's not just a husband and wife relationship. It's my best friend is not the person I know.
Mm-hmm.
And that also can be hurtful too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you came to the mission and you didn't know what to expect. And when you heard 10 months yet, there was probably like you kind of intimated a little fear and trepidation. How are we going to do this?
That was my initial thought was, how can I do this? But then I had a peace about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think because of the way God orchestrated it, the intervention wasn't planned. It just fell into place. The bed was available. He doesn't have health insurance with his job. So he had to become like an indigent person to find a place.
We don't charge anybody for anything. And even if you have the money, we don't charge anybody. If you come to us and you need help, and you're willing to do this program, we don't ask anybody to give us remuneration for this. Is God has supplied through our donors what we need to operate that mission. And as God has placed it into our hands, that's how it goes out. And so
it's amazing.
It's amazing. Hey, I've been there 19 years. I'm the director, and it amazes me all the time. Really, truthfully, I see people that don't make it, that it breaks my heart, and I see some people that God just gets a hold of, and it's amazing. So you came to the mission.
Yeah.
Now you've got this bed at the mission. You've had this intervention. Apparently, you didn't know how long it was either.
No.
And so now you're upstairs, I'm sure, for the very first time, sleeping with 23 other guys.
Yes.
Out of prison, off the streets, snoring, all the things that guys do and women never do. See, I'm pandering right now.
Yes, yes.
So how was that first encounter?
Well, when I found out it was going to be 10 months, my instant thought was, I don't even know if I could go 30 days, let alone 2 weeks, without alcohol, a pill, marijuana, and definitely not crystal meth. So within the initial 24 to 48 hours in my mind, my anger had come in towards the people for the intervention. And
withdrawal. Yeah.
I was angry and I was mad, and I had a plan. I was formulating a plan that I'll just walk home 44 miles. I can do it in a day and a half, 2 days. I'll walk home. I got a couple hundred bucks on me. I'm just going to go home, and I'm going to tell Julie and Lily to get out of my house. I'm done. Well, God had a different plan than my plan, and he started to send men my way that had gone through the program, specifically Danny and Rudolph. And my wife asked me one thing. She said, as she kissed me on the lips as I went away, she said, "Promise me that you will trust the men that God brings your way and be truthful."
Amen.
And I said, "Okay, I will." So at first, to your question, being up in the dorm, looking at these different individuals and thinking about myself with anger issues, and I was like, okay, we're going to see how this is going to go, because I could already see right now that I'm going to have some issues with a couple of people just because that's how it goes. You got a problem with me, I got a problem with you having a problem with me. But God.
But God, that's a big one, huh?
But God, my brother, he had a plan, and he started sending these men, Rudolph and Danny. And I listened to them, and they started pouring their hearts out to me and telling me about surrender. And then I had Pastor Mooney in class. And then just being on that campus in that environment, God started to whittle away at all the walls that I had around me to protect myself. And these walls became my own prison, and they started to crush themselves by the hand of God, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit started to make a move into my life after about 2 weeks.
Well, so there's probably that point when you got upstairs that you thought to yourself, wait a minute, I'm not like these guys. Mm. I'm different. We've got about 2 minutes. So how long were you there? And then I would like you guys to stay so we could do another show. And so, you know, Paul Harvey used to say, so folks, stay tuned for the rest of the story, because there's a lot to this. And I would really love for you to hear the whole story that both Jeff and Julie have. And so, Jeff, you're up there with these guys. You got that feeling. You already got anger, right?
Yes, sir.
And so I can tell you at that juncture, it probably culminated into your resentment of a whole lot of people up there, maybe even to the pastors that are there, right?
It did.
Sure. So, Julie, how long was it before you realized that you actually... we're down to 1 minute, so hold that thought.
Okay.
Because I want you to be able to complete the whole thought. So again, see, we've got the cliffhanger happening, you know. So if you folks don't come back next week, shame on you. I'm not going to tell you what it was. No, that's not true. But at any rate, so guys, I know that life is totally different. And
yes,
next week we want to sit down and at the next show, we want to talk a little bit about that, because along with all this very tough, very hard stuff is some very exciting path of what was very bad before, but God.
But God.
Until we meet again, my dearest friends, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
Been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to ugmsac.com, ugmsac.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.